Proceedings. This review is being held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office has made a preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Derek Larson is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires a public review following such a determination. This is not a trial. For the purposes of today's proceedings is to present the public with essential facts surrounding the death of Derek Larson. Chief Deputy District Attorney Parker Brooks will present today's fact-finding review on behalf of the District Attorney's Office. He will determine the witness or witnesses to be called. The ordinance does not provide subpoena power on my behalf and does not allow for any other party to call witnesses. Richard Tenassi has been appointed as the ombudsman. He represents both the public and Derek Larson's family. He will have the opportunity to ask questions of the witness or witnesses. The procedure for questioning witnesses shall be informal with a view to providing the public with relevant information regarding the use of force, and rules of evidence shall not be strictly enforced. Members of the public observing this review may submit proposed written questions on forms located in the back of this room and present it to one of the officers. I will ask the question unless I determine that it is irrelevant, redundant, or an abuse of the review process. At the conclusion of this review, no formal determination regarding the manner or cause of death shall be rendered. Does anybody have anything else to add?
No, Judge, thank you.
Okay. Oh, and also, viewer discretion is advised with some of the video footage. Mr. Parker, you can feel free to start then.
The state's first witness will be Detective Robert Chavez.
Okay, go ahead.
Detective Chavez, how are you employed?
I'm employed with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department as a detective with the force investigation team.
What is the force investigation team? What is the acronym usually associated with it? And what kind of things would you guys respond to?
Well, the force investigation team would respond to officer-involved shootings, also criminal investigations involving the use of deadly force on officers. We also investigate in-custody deaths, suicides in officer presence.
Roughly or generally, what is the team composed of as far as how many detectives, a sergeant, things like that?
The team's composed of six detectives. There's also a cadre from other investigative units that come to assist. We have a sergeant, a lieutenant, and a captain.
And were you working back on February 6th of 2024?
Yes.
Do you recall an investigation, an incident that brings us here to court today?
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about the area that was involved and where you were dispatched to on this night?
Yes, we were dispatched to the 2500 block of Sherwood Street. As you see in the overview, to the OIS location that occurred off of Sherwood Street in between Sahara Avenue and Liberace Way, and in an alleyway between some apartment complexes.
And so if you could just orient us, we can see Sahara running horizontally through the middle of this. Can you point out the street in the upper left-hand corner running diagonally?
That would be the Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay, and could you zoom in? Do you have a zoomed in version of
Yes.
the location itself?
So an up close aerial view of the OIS location, you see that the OIS occurred in between two apartment complexes off of Sherwood and Van Patten Street.
And just so we can orient ourselves for a little bit later when we're looking at body camera and or photos, could you tell us where some landmarks would be that we might use later to reference where we are?
One of the landmarks just above where the OIS location occurred, along the right of where the alleyway ends, there was a couch there where a witness had had seen the decedent walk towards his location and pointed towards to the officers where he went.
And when we talk about alleyway, are we talking about the street in the middle running vertically, not labeled Van Patten and not labeled Sherwood?
Correct.
Okay. Take us through some of the subject officers and some of the background and information that you gleaned during the course of your investigation.
Our subject officers, first one is Officer Jay Maston. He was hired on in 2021. At the time of the incident, he was 29 years old. He was assigned to the Convention Air Command. Convention Center Eric Menflex team. His body camera was activated. He provided a walkthrough, however, he did not provide a statement to fit. Officer Mastin's weapon is a Sons of Liberty 223 caliber M4 rifle equipped with a tac light and optic. The investigation revealed that 11 rounds were fired. Second subject officers, Officer Wesley Moran, hired on in 2021 of April. At the time of the incident, he was 37 years old. He was also assigned to the Convention Center Area Command Flex Team. He provided a walkthrough, did not provide a statement to fit. Officer Moran's weapon was a Glock 17 9mm equipped with a tac light. The investigation revealed 8 rounds were fired.
Before we move on to the victim officer here, when we were looking at that map, we saw Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard. You mentioned that the two subject officers were from the Convention Center Area Flex Team. Could you tell us a little bit about what essentially the generally the breakdowns as far as geographically are the patrol area commands throughout this part of the valley?
They're neighboring area commands. Convention Center Area Command is just west of South Central Area Command and just north of there is Downtown Area Command. So there are three area commands right there within.
So three area commands would basically intersect around this location.
Correct.
Is it unusual or atypical for officers to respond and assist regardless of what area command they might be?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Please continue.
Our victim officer, Officer Anthony Canales. He was hired on in 2020. He was 25 years old at the time of the incident. He was also assigned to the Convention Center Area Command Flex Team. Body camera was activated. He did provide a statement to fit, and in this case, he was the victim. He was listed as the victim of assault with deadly weapon.
And could you tell us a little bit about the decedent?
The decedent, Lee Derek Larson. He was 46 years old at the time of the incident. He was a Las Vegas resident. His applicable charges that he survived would have been resisting with a weapon, assault with a deadly weapon on a protected person, 3 counts, and prohibited person in possession of a firearm.
You'd mentioned the deadly weapon and the firearm. Was that recovered?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Was the firearm and being the deadly weapon recovered?
Yes.
Could you tell us about the decedent's weapon?
Yes. It's the decedent's weapon was a polymer 80 9mm equipped with a red dot sight. It's also known as a ghost gun due to the fact that it has no serial number. 10 rounds were found in the magazine, and 1 round was found in the chamber. As you see in the photo right above, there's a cartridge above the firearm that was cleared by our crime scene analysts and to show that there was a round in the chamber.
And when we talked about Officer Canales being the victim officer, could you take us through a little bit about the decedent's vehicle and Officer Canales and where he was initially when contacting the decedent?
Yes. The decedent's vehicle is a 2007 Jeep Liberty. It showed the decedent was the registered owner. The damaged vehicle that the decedent had backed up into and damaged, we found that there was no connection with the decedent. However, you can see at the front of the vehicle, there was damage done to it.
Were there any civilian witnesses that were interviewed as part of your investigation?
Yes.
Could you take us through them and some of the information that you were provided?
Yes. To protect their identity, we just used their initials from their first and last name. So our witnesses, we had 4 witnesses in this one. First witness, known as CC. CC said he was sitting on the couch against the block wall, located in an alley at the 2500 block of Sherwood Street. CC saw a white male, the decedent, who he described as being bald and wearing undergarments, walking towards his direction from Sherwood Street. CC observed the decedent with a black Glock-style handgun in his left hand. The decedent reached the area where CC was sitting, then changed direction and began walking south through the alley. Shortly after, officers arrived in the alley. CC pointed to the officers in the direction of where the decedent went and told officers, "There is a bald man over there with a gun." The officers had lined up, and CC heard an officer say, "Drop the gun." Shortly after the officer issued commands, CC stated he heard gunshots. CC took cover behind the couch and remained there until an officer escorted him out of the area.
A little bit later on, I might have you point out where CC was in the couch if you have some photos later on in the presentation for his vantage point.
Okay.
Could you tell us about CF?
CF contacted police after learning of her longtime friend, which is the decedent, on the news. CF last spoke with the decedent 2 days prior to the OIS and said that the decedent was going through personal problems. The decedent told CF he was afraid of going back to prison due to a car accident that resulted in his girlfriend's death and feared he would be killed there due to his gang affiliation. CF said the decedent told her that he would rather commit suicide by cop than go back to prison. The decedent told CF that he was strapped at all times, meaning slang for carrying a firearm. The decedent also told CF that he did not want to hurt officers but would raise his gun at them if needed to make the police shoot him.
What about DD?
DD and the decedent were parked on Sherwood Street, smoking marijuana and listening to music inside of the decedent's vehicle. They noticed the police vehicle behind them, and the decedent told DD that he would run if the police tried to pull them over. The decedent told DD that he would rather run because he had a gun and was a felon. As the patrol vehicle approached them, the decedent started his vehicle and hit a parked car when he backed up. The decedent and DD then exited the vehicle to look at the damage. The patrol officer, Officer Canales, pulled up and told them to come to the front of his patrol vehicle, but the decedent ran away. DD said he was scared and went to his friend's house nearby. DD did not see the decedent's gun. However, the decedent told DD it was in his bag and that he had it for protection.
In some of the body cam later with Officer Canales, will we be able to see the person that you've identified as DD?
Yes.
And are there times where he is referenced as a she
briefly
in the body cam? Thank you.
NB was in the alley at the 2500 block of Sherwood Street at the time of the OIS. NB did not witness the actual OIS, but saw officers running and yelling, "Drop it."
At some point later on, were you able to make contact with the decedent's father and interview him later on?
Yes. The decedent's father, known as GL, GL said the decedent moved to Las Vegas with his girlfriend Ashley sometime. In 2023, Ashley was killed in a car accident. Since then, GL said the decedent started to lose his mind, quote, "After Ashley's death, the decedent told GL he wanted to get into a shootout with police so he could die." The decedent was known to use illegal narcotics and had been in and out of prison. GL also stated he rarely spoke to the decedent and knew he had been unemployed since he moved to Las Vegas.
Is this car accident that's referenced by decedent's father the same car accident that was referenced by CF?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about the autopsy and the findings that were made after the autopsy?
Yes. The autopsy was conducted by Dr. Nathan Schaller on the 17th of April, 2024. Cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds, manner of death, homicide. Toxicology also revealed that there were amphetamines and methamphetamine in the decedent's system.
Take us through a little bit of the timeline that was relevant throughout the course of your investigation.
The timeline began at 01:47 and 34 seconds. Officer Canales conducted a traffic stop on a suspicious vehicle. At 1:47:45, a foot pursuit was initiated by Officer Canales. At 1:49:05, Officer Canales announced that the decedent pointed a firearm at him. At 1:49:17, officers lost visual of the decedent at the Radcliffe apartment complex. At 1:50:06, the decedent was seen running westbound across Sherwood Street with a firearm. At 1:51:32, shots fired were broadcasted.
When we are looking at this timeline, is it fair that the 1:47 is a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Correct.
When we look at body cam later, is body cam stored in a different type of timeline or time frame?
It's stored in a different time, also known as Zulu time, which is also known as the Greenwich Mean Time. It's based on a 24-hour world clock, so the time just shows different on the body-worn camera.
And so given that this was in February at that point in time in the year, would we add 8 hours to Pacific Standard Time in order to get to the UTC or Zulu or Greenwich Mean Time translation.
Yes.
So if we were to see 947 or 949 on body cam later on, it's not a mistake. That's just how Axon servers store body cam.
Correct.
When we see some of Officer Canales's body cam, is there come a point in time when something occurs with Officer Canales that shifts the view?
Yes, during the foot pursuit, Officer Canales loses his footing and falls down. He loses some of his gear, recovers his gear, but his body-worn camera that was on his shoulder was pointed down, so he continued the foot pursuit. However, the camera was no longer pointed directly at, it was pointed at the ground, but you can hear everything going on.
So we still have audio, but it's just shifted in view.
Correct.
Okay, please continue with taking us through this foot pursuit path, if you could.
So this is the foot pursuit path that that began at the where the vehicle stop was located at Sherwood Street and Liberace Avenue. The foot pursuit proceeded north on Sherwood Street, then turned right into the alleyway of the Radcliffe apartment complex. At this point, that's when Officer Canales announced over the radio that the decedent pointed a handgun at him. This shows the approximate location of where the decedent was and where Officer Canales was at the time that this was broadcasted. This photograph here shows where Officer Canales was in reference to where the decedent was when the decedent pointed a handgun at him. The decedent proceeded north behind the Radcliffe Apartments in the alleyway, then west across Sherwood Street into the 2500 block apartment complex leading up to where the OIS occurred. This slide here shows where the arriving officers, Officer Maston and Moran, arrived. This is the patrol vehicle facing us here. The blue couch just to the left is where the witness was. That was CC, where he saw the decedent walk up to him. Then proceeded south down the alleyway, close to where that electrical box is on the that's on the other side of the apartment complex. He pointed that way and advised officers that he saw somebody with a handgun.
So when we see the body cam, if you could anchor us to something on the right of this photo that we'll see from the officer's vantage point, what would we look at?
We should see the couch and the mattress on the bottom corner.
So we'll see the couch and the mattress, and then is it fair that the incident proceeds to the right as far as the photo?
Yes.
The electrical box that you mentioned, is that something that we'll see in Officer Marin's body cam?
Yes, that's where officers took cover behind when they made contact with the decedent, when they first saw the decedent.
If you could take us through some Officer Canales' body cam, including the initial interaction and then the foot pursuit.
Yeah. Viewer discretion is advised with this content that is about to be played.
Officer Canales' body-worn camera. On this one, you'll see when Officer Canales was watching the red Jeep Liberty, he observes the red Jeep Liberty back up and collide with a vehicle. That's when he initiated the vehicle stop. You'll see here where Officer Canales makes contact with the decedent and his passenger, and then the foot pursuit that proceeds after. The first few seconds will be silent until the audio activates on body-worn camera.
Control Emery 52, 425B, occupy 2 times, please.
Amen.
Paul 6, Adam 6, 5, Paul, I'll be liberous and Sherwood. Front of the car. Front of the car.
I'm in the front of the car.
Come here. Don't run.
What did we do wrong?
You smashed into this car.
No, that's why I was getting out to check the damage.
Can I get it back? They 401'd into a separate vehicle, not involved. Get to the front of my car, please. I won't ask again, please.
You sent from the state.
That's why I was checking the damage, man.
Arizona. Get over here.
I'm here.
You. Hey.
Come on, Mary 20.
Control, 8 Mary 5-2, foot pursuit. Gender male, gray hoodie, sweatpants. He's reaching inside of the bag. Stop partying! Show me your hands! God damn it! He's running towards the strict street, Sahara. Get a unit to cut him off. Now he's running 2592 eastbound. Hey man, listen. Just give up.
Hey, 42 canine there, you know.
Control Mary 5-2, he's pointing to 413 and I need units now.
Detective, let me ask you kind of a couple questions. At the very beginning when the video started playing, it was quiet for a period of time, no audio. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Is it fair that once an officer initiates his or her body-worn camera, the camera is able to go 30 seconds in the past because it's always recording and pull 30 seconds of visual, but the audio begins at the moment of initiation?
Yes, typically 30 seconds.
And is that one of the reasons that we typically will get video without audio for about 30 seconds prior?
Yes.
Lastly, for those who kind of couldn't hear and hadn't listened to this as many times as you had, did we hear something about reaching inside a bag?
Yes.
What was that?
He was reaching, that's when Officer Canales saw him reaching into appears to be a satchel or a bag.
Was that, after that, do we hear something about show me your hands?
Yes.
Who was saying that?
Officer Canales.
And then when we heard pointing a 413 at me, what does that designation mean to you?
413 meaning a firearm.
Okay. Could you continue?
This Officer Moran's wide-worn camera. This is when they approach the 2500 block of Sherwood Street and see Officer Canales. Officer Canales points in the direction of where the decedent went. During this body-worn camera, you'll hear the first volley of fire that you'll hear, your heel gunshots, those were the ones that came from Officer Maston first.
Hold on. He's right there.
Maston! Get up!
Where's he at?
Hey, drop the fucking gun! Hey. Drop the fucking gun!
Stop!
Hey, she's fired!
So the middle volley of fire, is that Officer Marin's fire, the person whose body-worn camera we hear?
Yes.
When we hear cease fire, during the course of your investigation, do you know at least one of the persons yelling that?
Yes.
Who was that?
Officer Canales.
So Officer Canales, the one that we saw fall, he continues down the alleyway?
Behind Officer Moran and Officer Maston, yes.
If you could show us some of Officer Maston's body worn camera.
Officer Maston, this will show where I think it's already been mentioned earlier that this was a two-man unit, so Officer Maston was the passenger of this two-man unit.
Let me ask you, was Officer Canales in a single or a two-man unit that night?
Officer Canales was in a single.
So if we don't see anyone providing him backup, it's because he didn't have a partner at that
Correct.
Point. Officer Marin and Officer Maston were called to be the backup?
Yes.
Okay.
This will show Officer Maston to the right of Officer Marin as they approach the alleyway. Also to the right, or middle of your screen right now, but it'll eventually be to the right, you'll see the couch and the mattress that were on the ground where the witness was located when he directed the officer's location where he saw the decedent walk to with a gun in the neck.
Where's he at? Where's he at?
Hey, drop the fucking gun!
Hey, move, man!
Shots fired.
Was Air Unit requested when Officer Canales was initially calling out for support over the radio?
Air Unit was requested, yes.
Did we have some Air Unit video footage?
Yes.
When we see this Air Unit video footage, could you tell us a little bit about the dynamic as far as the camera ability in comparison to whether or not the helicopter is directly overhead?
Yes. The camera on the Air Unit, as they approach the scene here, it'll seem like the air unit's a lot closer than it really is. It's just that the air unit's zoomed into the area where we believe that the decedent was.
At times during the air unit footage, does it switch different visual depictions?
Yes, sometimes it'll switch from infrared to regular.
And throughout the course of it, is the helicopter at least still continuing towards the incident or area, but videoing while it's on its way?
Yes.
Could you please play some for us?
Control 377WCD. We have a unit to call out a perimeter.
Carter 5, I'll call it out here in a second. I'm just trying to pick him back up. I think I've got him right here on the corner. What was the last scene wearing?
Three over gray.
Bring me back south.
It's a gray long sleeve and gray shorts.
Come on, Mike.
Charlie, I'll be out on the vehicle.
Gray long sleeve or shorts.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. What? All right, 5, we got him on visual. 2575, Sherwood.
Charlie, where's our 2? I need medical to my location. Subject is down.
Air 5, we'll call for you guys. Just focus on your tactics. Have medical come to Sherwood and Sahara. Suspect down, and there's a 413 behind him.
Now, in this kind of freeze frame where the video ends, are we able to see not only the firearm, but the satchel that Officer Canales described?
Yes.
In an air unit, could you tell us, is that a one single man unit or is that a two man unit?
In the air unit, usually you have your pilot and you have your observer.
And when we say observer, is that the person actually working the camera while the pilot's flying so that he
Yes.
can try to work this camera? Are there any screenshots that the observer was able to take from prior video footage that may or may not have been seen there during those black kind of incidents that you've compiled for us?
Yes. So I was able to get a screenshot where it appears that the decedent is tucked behind one between two apartment complexes there. The close up here, you'll see where the decedent was holding the firearm.
Is in this moment in time, can we see the van that he ends up taking kind of like a coverage position?
Yes, it's just below. It appears kind of dark, but that's the van that he had taken cover behind.
So he would move toward the bottom of this photo at some point?
Initially, yes.
Okay. Could you tell me about, were you able to interview Officer Canales during your investigation?
Officer Canales said he initiated a vehicle stop on a red Jeep on off of Sherwood Street after it had backed up and hit a parked car. The occupants exited the Jeep and the decedent fled on foot northbound on Sherwood Street. During the foot pursuit, Officer Canales saw the decedent reach into a satchel. Officer Canales fell to the ground, injuring his hands and right knee, then got back up and continued pursuing the decedent into an alleyway located east of Sherwood Street. While in the alleyway, the decedent pointed a firearm at Officer Canales. Officer Canales radioed that the decedent was armed with a firearm, took cover, and waited for backup officers to arrive. Officer Canales met with Officers Moran and Maston in an alley west of Sherwood Street. Officers Moran and Maston found the decedent and told him to drop the gun. Officer Canales heard gunfire, saw the decedent go to the ground, then saw him moving as if he was reaching for a gun. Officer Canales said he feared he would have been killed when the decedent pointed the firearm at him.
Take us through some of the crime scene photos.
This crime scene photograph shows where the location of where Officer Maston was during the first volley of fire. It shows that he was approximately 49 feet and 1 inch away from the decedent when he discharged his rifle. This shot here shows where Officer Moran was during the second volley of fire. It showed that he was approximately 32 feet, 2 inches away from the decedent when he discharged his firearm. This slide shows where Officer Maston was during the third volley of fire, which would be Officer Maston's second volley of fire. It showed that he was approximately 26 feet and 4 inches away from the decedent when he discharged his rifle. The slide shows where the decedent was located. It shows the firearm was photographed in place after officers and medical attempted life-saving measures on the decedent. This is a close-up of the decedent's firearm.
When we saw Officer Marin initiate what would be the second volley of fire, but his first volley of fire, the decedent had kind of fallen down behind the van. When you slow down the video and look from all the angles, are you able to tell whether or not he was still upright? Did he still have a firearm in his hand?
It appeared that he was still upright, that he got up. Well, he was still upright.
Was he still facing towards the officers?
Yes.
And is that something we can also see in the air unit footage?
Yes.
If you could tell us a little bit about what you gleaned from the officer walkthroughs.
So we conducted walkthroughs on the day of the incident. The purpose of the scene walkthrough is to assist crime scene analysts and fit detectives with developing an understanding of the scene, including identifying officers' locations at the time of the deadly forces used, identifying items of potential physical evidence, and recreating a timeline of the incident. All walkthroughs and statements conducted with the involved officers are voluntary. During Officer Moran's walkthrough, which was led by LVPPA attorney Malasky, who asked the questions, and Officer Moran would answer yes to confirm. Officer Moran heard a radio broadcast by Officer Canales, where he stated a gun had been pointed at him. Officer Moran was the driver of a two-man unit and knew Officer Canales was a single-man unit. As they pulled into the alley, he came around the corner and the decedent had a pistol in his right hand while facing Officer Moran. Officer Moran told the decedent to drop the gun 2 times. His partner, Officer Maston, fired, but the decedent did not go down. The decedent was getting up, positioned his body toward the officers, and Officer Moran fired. Officer Moran fired because the decedent had a gun in his hand and feared he would fire at the officers. Officer Maston's walkthrough was also led by LVPPA attorney Malasky, who asked questions and Officer Maston would answer yes to them to confirm. Officer Maston was a passenger in a two-man unit. He heard radio traffic from Officer Canales stating he was in a foot pursuit with a person armed with a gun. Officer Maston knew Officer Canales needed assistance and hurried to his location. Officer Mastin exited the vehicle with his patrol rifle and positioned himself behind Officer Moran, slightly to his right. The decedent was near a van facing officers and had a gun in his hand. Officer Mastin heard Officer Moran instruct the decedent to drop the gun. Officer Mastin knew Officer Moran was in the suspect's line of fire and fired to prevent him from being shot. Officer Mastin moved to his right, moved to the right side of the van that was in front of him. As Officer Mastin moved, he heard gunfire. Officer Mastin observed the suspect on the ground facing away from him. Officer Mastin could not see the suspect's hands and did not know if the suspect was still armed. He then observed the suspect's left arm move and believed he was going to aim the firearm. Officer Mastin then fired again.
Now, I believe at the request of the parties, you have some of the body-worn camera queued up. If we could watch a little more of the body-worn camera. I believe this is Officer Mastin's. If we could start it from what would be 1:50 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, almost 1:51 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Oh, and if we could pause it and unmute.
Hold on. He's right there. Where's he at?
Hey, drop the fucking gun!
Hey, move, man!
Shots fired. Take a deep breath. Good?
Yeah. Take a deep breath. Everybody's fine. Hey, I'm over here with a rifle still. Yeah, you're fine, man. Gotcha. You good? Hold on. Mary, take a step back. Thank you.
Was it just me and you? Just me and you? Okay. Hey, let's go this way. Hey, did anybody else shoot? No? Just me. Okay, we'll go this way. Hold on, just keep your camera on, bro. Trolley Murray 77.
And then if we could go to Officer Marin's body-worn camera, and let's start just a little earlier. How about 149? That's fine.
He's running west, my dude. Where is he?
Went down this way, had a handgun, threw it in the van.
Hold on. He's right there.
Stay here, I'll go over there with the action.
No, you're fine, man.
He's still moving.
It's a lot of crossfire. That's the only thing. They're moving up.
Hey, there's a lot of crossfire.
Hey!
Watch out for us.
Okay.
Yeah, we're moving up. Just stay there.
Ben, we'll get behind you. We'll get behind you.
Move left.
We got it. Move fast. He's still moving. Hold on. Guys, I need a trauma kit. Give me a trauma.
Detective, I just have a couple final questions. When we heard in, I believe it was Officer Maston's body-worn camera, you heard someone in the background saying, not him, not him. Can you tell us who that was in reference to?
That was in reference to the witness that was by the couch.
So was that Officer Canales saying it's not CC?
Right.
Lastly, when we saw a couple times on Officer Maston's body-worn camera, a light flash and then go away and then flash again. Is that from the camera or is that from something else?
That's from his rifle-mounted light.
Oh, so is he operating the tac light?
Yes.
When sighting it?
Yes.
And then I think you mentioned the, if you didn't, or if you did, forgive me, was the cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds?
Yes.
Is it fair that it was more double-digit gunshot wounds, not one independently fatal situation?
Yes.
Thank you. At this point in time, I don't believe I have any further questions. I'll turn it over.
Okay, Mr. Tenassi.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Detective Chavez.
Morning.
Just so the public is clear, my name is Rich Tenassi. I'm the ombudsman in this case. I've been appointed by the county to represent both the family of Derek Lee Larson and the public to ask you some questions in today's review. Fair?
Yes.
All right. So we've heard about two groups of police officers today. Fair to say?
Yes.
We've heard about officers involved in the shooting and actually there at the scene, correct?
Yes.
And those officers, they work for Metro, right?
I'm sorry?
They work for Metro, those officers? Okay. And we've also heard about the force investigation team, the team you're a part of, correct?
Correct.
Shorthand is FIT, fair?
Yes.
All right. And those officers, they, including yourself, also work for Metro, correct?
Correct.
All right. You are the lead detective in this case, the primary detective?
Yes.
And Detective Ubens, if I have that right, he was also primary detective as well?
Yes.
All right. How long have you, Detective Chavez, how long have you worked for Metro?
I've worked for Metro for approximately 23 years.
Okay. How many of those years have you worked for FIT?
Almost two.
Okay. How many officer-involved shootings have you investigated?
I've investigated four officer-involved shootings. Well, I've been the case agent of. I've also assisted with I've assisted with over 100 cases in total. I've been the lead detective for 12 cases as well.
Okay. Can just in sort of a nutshell, can you give us your training that qualifies you to be a FIT detective?
I'm sorry.
Can you just give the public a sort of nutshell of your training that allows you and qualifies you to be a FIT detective?
I've attended attended homicide school. I've attended courses that have to do with use of force, interview and interrogation courses as well, classes such as that. I don't have a list of all the classes I've taken, but we've taken several.
How long was your training? How many months? How long was your training? How many months? How many years?
The training. Well, it's not in years. It's just we do training as we go in our career.
Okay. Fair to say that you have authority to make arrests and officer-involved shooting investigations, correct?
Correct.
All right. If you determine that probable cause exists, you can make an arrest of an officer. Fair?
Correct.
All right. So probable cause, you'll agree with me, is your reasonable belief based upon a totality of the circumstances that some crime has occurred. Fair? All right. And if you make an arrest, and you didn't in this case, but if you were to make an arrest, you would then submit your investigation to the district attorney's office, correct?
Correct.
Right? And then they would decide whether to actually charge the officer you arrested with a crime, fair?
Correct.
And you made no arrests in this case, right?
Correct.
All right. And the district attorney's office has also filed no charges in this case, correct?
Correct.
All right. You prepared a report stemming from the shooting on February 2nd, 2024. That's when the shooting occurred, correct?
February 6th.
I'm sorry, February 6th, that's correct. And then you prepared a report in this case, though, in July of 2024, correct?
Correct.
Some 5 months later, fair?
So, mother.
Okay. About 86-page report, right?
Yes.
All right. Pretty detailed, correct?
Yes.
Accurate, right?
Yes.
And you want to be as fair and impartial in your investigation as possible, correct?
Correct.
All right. If something's relevant to your investigation, it's in that report, right?
Correct.
And we'll call it that. We'll call that report, we'll call it the FIT report, fair?
Yes.
All right. Provided that report to the state, right?
Yes.
To me as the ombudsman, correct?
Yes.
And after today's hearing, that report will be public as well, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, your investigation, it consists of reviewing CAD reports, correct?
Yes.
Physical evidence?
Yes.
The scene of the incident?
Yes.
Autopsy report?
Yes.
Body-worn camera footage that we've seen so far?
Yes.
And you also interview witnesses, right?
Yes.
All right. Those witnesses kind of fall into different categories, correct?
Yes.
You have officer witnesses who are simply witnesses that are either that are there or respond to the scene, correct?
Yes.
They use no force at all, correct. Those officers.
Correct.
Right? They're just there, correct?
Yes.
And other officers become your subject officers, as you call them, officers who supervise, participate, direct, or influence the application of force, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, Metro, the interview process that Metro undergoes is governed by NRS 289 and then is adopted by different internal policies and procedures, correct?
Correct.
All right. So those officer witnesses, again, those officers not using force, not the subject officers, they must appear and they must be interviewed as witnesses in connection with the investigation, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The non-subject officers must appear and give interviews, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, subject officers, those using force, and those are the officers of the subject, those who are the officers of the alleged misconduct, they must also provide a statement or face being charged with insubordination, fair?
Can you repeat that again?
Sure. NRS 289.060B2 says the subject officer must provide a statement or be charged with insubordination, fair?
No.
No? All right, well, I've cited the statute, and right. The public can read the statute for their own, and I guess essentially make their own determination, fair?
Great.
All right. So here we have two subject officers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Officer Jay Mattson, he fired his rifle, fair?
Yes.
All right. Officer Wesley Marin, he fired his handgun, correct?
Yes.
All right. Both officers fired shots at Mr. Larson, fair?
Yes.
And they're the only two officers to have discharged their firearm, correct?
Correct.
All right. So Officer Mattson, he was given the opportunity to give a voluntary statement to you, correct?
Correct.
And he declined, right?
Correct.
All right. Officer Marin also was given the opportunity to give a statement to you, correct?
Correct.
And he declined as well, right?
Yes.
Officer Canales, the officer didn't fire his weapon, the victim witness, correct?
Correct.
He chased Mr. Larson initially, right?
Yes.
Didn't fire his weapon, right?
Correct.
Okay, he gave a statement to you, fair?
Yes.
All right. However, we do hear from Officer Mattson and Officer Marin in two ways. One, through a public service statement, fair?
Yes.
All right, and then also during their walkthroughs, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go through briefly Officer Mattson's public service statement. Fair to say you learned that Officer Mattson guessed he had fired 7 rounds. Does that sound right? Right?
Yes.
All right. No one from FIT was able to follow up with him and ask him why he fired shots at Mr. Larson, fair?
Yes.
Okay, again, because he declined to interview, right?
Right.
Officer Mattson said in his public statement, service statement, that he didn't hear any shots fired at him, fair?
Yes.
Okay. Officer Marin also gave a public service statement, right?
Yes.
Okay. Officer Marin said that he said that Mr. Larson fired no shots, correct?
Correct.
All right. And again, no one from FIT was able to follow up with him and ask Officer Marin why he fired his shots because he declined his interview, right?
Correct.
All right. But there were walkthroughs and statements made during that walkthrough, correct?
Yes.
All right. Officer Mattson's walkthrough, let's talk about that one first. Conversation with him occurred, correct?
Correct.
It wasn't audio recorded, right?
Yes.
It wasn't video recorded, right?
It was not video or audio recorded, yes.
But a member from FIT spoke with Officer Mattson, right?
Yes.
All right. And you learned during the walkthrough that Officer Mattson fired a shot at Mr. Larson when Mr. Larson was on the ground, right?
Correct.
Okay. After he had already been shot, right? after Mr. Larson had already been shot and was on the ground, another shot was fired.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. He believed that Mr. Larson's left hand began to move, correct?
Correct.
Appeared to reach for a gun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so then he fired another round, right?
Correct.
All right. During Officer Marin's walkthrough, again, wasn't audio recorded, right?
Correct.
Wasn't video recorded, right?
Correct.
All right. But again, a member from FIT spoke with Officer Marin, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you learned during the walkthrough that Marin saw Mr. Larson had a pistol, right?
Correct.
He told Mr. Larson to drop the pistol twice, correct?
Correct.
It was learned during the walkthrough that Officer Mattson fired his rifle, right?
Correct.
And Mr. Larson did not go completely down, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Larson started to get up, right?
Correct.
And Officer Marin believed he still had a gun.
Correct.
And Officer Marin indicated that he feared for his life and the life of other officers, so he fired his gun, right?
Correct.
And that was during his walkthrough, right?
Yes.
All right. We've already gone through some body-worn camera footage, and I want to just go through a couple portions of it again briefly with you. Fair?
Correct.
Yes. Specifically in the report, and I want to just focus on the timeline as you lay it out in the report. Page 37. Let me know when you're there.
Okay.
All right, sir. So near the bottom at 095120, do you see me? See where I'm at?
Yes.
Okay. Officer Marin was heard yelling multiple times, drop the, quote, fucking gun, as Officer Marin pointed his handgun towards the south side of the alley. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. And then at 095122, a person wearing a gray sweater or shirt and gray shorts was seen standing on the opposite side of the van in the alley. The person was facing the direction of the officers. Officer Mattson told Officer Marin, hey man, or hey, move man, then fired his rifle at Larson, correct?
Yes.
All right. Turning to the next page at 095124, Larson went down on the opposite side of the van and officers moved towards him. An officer was heard announcing shots fired, correct?
Yes.
All right. And then at 095126, Officer Mattson advanced forward, and Officer Marin discharged his firearm, correct?
Yes.
All right, so now at 0951, Officer Mattson, who was positioned behind the van, activated his rifle light, aimed it at Larson, right?
Yes.
And fired his rifle at Larson a second time, correct?
Correct.
And a black handgun could be seen on the ground next to Larson's legs, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now what I calculate is about 3 minutes later at 0954, Officer Mattson and the other officers formulated a plan to approach Mr. Larson, correct?
Correct.
And at 0954-24, handcuffs were placed on Mr. Larson, fair?
Yes.
So for about 3 minutes, Mr. Larson was on the ground, correct?
Yes.
All right, so let's take a look now at Officer Marin's body-worn camera and specifically the timeline you laid out for him on page 39. So let me know when you're there, sir.
Ready?
All right. So at 095112, Officer Marin reached the end of the building located on the northwest corner and turned left with his weapon drawn, correct?
Correct.
And as this was going on, the air unit could be heard nearby and emergency lights were visible in the alleyway, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Larson was seen wearing a gray sweater and the gray shorts on the opposite side of the van, correct?
Correct.
And Larson was facing Officer Marin and was holding an object in his right hand, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You don't describe it, and I don't think the body-worn camera fleshes it out either, that showing Mr. Larson was pointing his weapon. Is that fair? At this juncture, at this timeline.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's jump down to 095126. Officer Marin fired his handgun at Larson, and Larson fell to the ground, correct?
Yes.
After Mr. Larson fell to the ground, a black handgun was seen next to him, correct?
Correct.
So at 09:51:26, Mr. Larson's on the ground, correct?
Correct.
With his back to officers, fair?
Yes.
Okay. And then at 09:51:29, approximately 3 seconds later, additional gunfire was heard following by an officer yelling for ceasefire, correct?
Correct.
And my count, and again, the body worn camera will flush it out itself, was roughly 4 or 5 rounds were fired at that point that Mr. Larson was on the ground?
That was Officer Masson's second volley of fire was 6 rounds.
Okay. Through the course of your investigation, sir, were you able to determine how many years Officer Marin had worked for Metro?
Officer Marin had been working for Metro since April 8th, 2021, so approximately 3 years.
Thank you, sir. How many years had Officer Matson been working for Metro at the time of the shooting?
Officer Matson. Approximately the same time, November of 2021, almost 3 years.
Thank you, sir. We've talked about it, but if you could please jump to page 18 of your report.
Okay, wait.
All right. Again, this is a picture of Mr. Larson laying on the ground with his back to officers, fair?
Yes.
Okay, and the gun and the case are found next to him, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Behind him, in between Mr. Larson and the officers, fair?
Yes.
Okay. Through the course of your investigation, were you able to determine when the gun was removed from that gun case?
No.
You interviewed a few civilian witnesses, correct?
Yes.
One identified as CC for purposes of preserving their identity, fair?
Yes.
All right. They saw, CC saw Mr. Larson running through the alley, right?
Yes.
No gun was observed by CC, correct?
He described that the decedent was holding a Glock-style handgun.
CC?
Yes.
Okay. Court's indulgence. My apologies. NB was also interviewed, fair?
Yes.
Okay. And NB saw the police running, giving chase to Mr. Larson, fair?
Yes.
All right. And heard the police yelling, drop it, fair?
Yes.
All right. And then during the course of your investigation, you learned that some witnesses believed that Mr. Larson had, we'll call it, stated a suicide by cop or a desire to get into a shootout to avoid going back to prison, something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the sentiment, fair?
Yes, yes.
All right. Did any part of your investigation reveal that Officer Matson or Officer Merrick knew those thoughts that were in Mr. Larson's head?
No.
All right, we talked a little about the autopsy in this case. A medical examiner was involved, right?
Yes.
Doctor who works for Clark County's coroner's office?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, that doctor's role is to determine the cause and the manner of death, fair?
Yes.
Cause is the medical reason for the death in this case, fair?
Yes.
Manner is really can be opened up into 5 different possibilities. A natural manner, like a heart attack, fair?
Yes.
Accidental, like a car accident, right?
Right.
Suicidal, like a person who takes their own life, fair?
Right.
Undetermined, where they just can't tell. Fair?
Right.
And then homicide, which is the non-accidental death at the hands of another. Fair?
Correct.
All right. So the determination for the autopsy, for the coroner doing the autopsy report is never whether the death is caused by a first or a second degree murder or anything along those lines, right?
Correct.
All right. A report was prepared by the medical examiner, correct?
Yes.
All right, and the cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds, right?
Yes.
And the manner was homicide, right?
Yes. Yes.
I counted 15 gunshot wounds. Does that sound right?
Yes.
All right. Of those, there's an apparent gunshot wound to the back of the right leg, fair?
Yes.
Another apparent gunshot wound to the back of the right thigh, fair?
Yes. Yes.
Another apparent gunshot wound to the back of the right thigh as well, correct?
Correct.
All right. Let's talk generally about the use of force in this case. Did your investigation reveal any steps the officers took to de-escalate the incident prior to shooting?
They had told the decedent to drop his firearm, which he refused.
Okay. And how was there any other steps that the officers took through the course of your investigation that revealed their attempts to de-escalate before firing?
No, just to drop the firearm. And it also with Officer Canales pretty much pleading with the decedent to give up.
Right. I have no further questions, Judge. I will just note for the record that I was in contact with the decedent's mother, Ms. Larson, and she asked me to ask many of the questions that I've asked her today.
Thank you. Anything further? Yeah, absolutely. Just
Detective, you were asked at one point whether or not you were able to discern a timeline for when the firearm could have been removed from the gun case. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
Did you learn anything when watching Officer Canales' body-worn camera that could have helped with that timeline?
Are you asking about?
Let me ask this. You have no idea, I guess, whether or not the gun found next to Mr. Larson was in fact the one that he pointed at Officer Canales, do you?
Correct, no.
Could have been a different one. Do you have any idea whether or not the gun that you hear Officer Canales talk about being taken out of a satchel was the one next to him when he was lying on the ground?
Yeah.
You don't know whether that's the same satchel or a different satchel, but does it at least provide a possible timeline for when a firearm was taken out of the satchel?
It does.
You mentioned that Officer Marin twice asked Mr. Larson to drop the firearm. Is that after Officer Canales has already asked multiple times?
Yes.
With regard to the questions about de-escalation, is it fair that your role as case agent for the FIT investigation team is for whether or not criminal charges will end up being brought?
Correct.
Not whether or not certain administrative protocols matched the course of the incident.
Correct.
So as far as the request to drop the firearm by Officer Canales and Officer Marin Maston, did they say those loud enough and sufficient enough just that we from the body-worn camera can hear it?
Yes.
With regard to kind of this criminal investigation, are there times when you would be part of a criminal investigation with the FIT team and someone is not dead, there's no decedent?
Yes.
If there is no decedent, are there times, does your role just stop and you don't do any investigation, or do you still have the case?
We still have the case, we continue with the investigation.
You were asked whether or not that you did not find probable cause with regard to the officers and arrest them for any conduct. Did you find probable cause for any crimes had Mr. Larson survived?
Had Mr. Larson survived? For Mr. Larson, yes.
And so is that what you took us through on like page 13 of your PowerPoint?
Yes.
And you would have then been the case agent for any case if it had proceeded against Mr. Larson for any crimes?
Yes.
You were asked about a particular statute and whether or not that forces someone to speak. Is it fair that the officers, when you take over a case, are under criminal investigation just like any suspect or anyone would be?
Yes.
Is there any statute that you're aware of that allows you to force someone under criminal investigation to speak to you?
No.
And would those suspect officers or shooting officers have the same rights that Lee Derrick Larson would have had had he survived in any criminal prosecution?
Yes.
We saw some maps, and I won't make you go through them, but is it fair that you also canvassed the area for any additional video surveillance?
Yes.
Were there at least two locations in particular that had video surveillance?
There was two, the Eureka Casino and the Speedy Mart.
Is it fair that although they had video surveillance, they weren't able to, you weren't ever able to obtain a vantage point of the shooting itself?
No.
We could just see some of the running and foot pursuit that we saw.
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further, Judge.
This public fact-finding review is held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office has made the preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Derrick Larson is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires a public review following such a determination. The purposes of today's hearing was not to present the public with the purpose of today's hearing was to present the public with essential facts surrounding the death of Derrick Larson. Richard Tenassi was appointed by the Clark County manager as the ombudsman to represent the public and Larson's family. Mr. Tenassi was given the opportunity to ask questions to provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. I was appointed by the Clark County manager as presiding officer to preside over this public review. I too was given the opportunity to ask questions and provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. Prior to today's public review, the Clark County District Attorney's Office provided Mr. Tenassi and myself copies of the law enforcement investigation regarding the death of Derrick Larson. The documents provided by prosecution are considered public record. If you miss any portion of this review and would like to obtain a recorded transcript, a video of the entire proceeding is available on the Clark County website at www.clarkcountynv.gov. This concludes the police fatality public fact-finding review in the death of Derrick Larson. Thank you.